As Jesus is inside in the high priest's courtroom, we find Peter outside in the high priest's courtyard. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you two are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Two trials were actually taking place that evening. Jesus on trial before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. And outside the courtroom, out in the courtyard, Peter on trial as well. Peter had already had something of a night, as the story has unfolded. Earlier, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, it was Peter who had objected, "You must never wash my feet." And then when Jesus explained to Peter why he was doing this, Peter over-enthusiastically replies, "Then not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus has to rebuke him again. Then after the meal, as they were walking to the Mount of Olives, Jesus had announced that all of the disciples would fall away from him before the night was done. Again, Peter's the one who protests, saying, "Though they all fall away from you, I never will." I'm sure that went over well with the rest of the disciples. And Jesus had answered Peter by telling Peter specifically, that not only would he, Peter, fall away, but before the night was done, before the rooster crowed, Peter would deny even knowing Jesus three separate times. Peter's brave response, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And then when they had reached the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had selected Peter and James and John to come keep close watch over him while he was praying. And Peter, along with the other two, had instead fallen asleep. The first time Jesus caught them sleepy, he admonished them, especially Peter, one would imagine, that instead of sleeping, they should be praying not to enter into temptation. Jesus went back to his prayer, and Peter promptly went back to sleep. Same thing happened again. Third time. After that had come Judas's betrayal and Jesus's arrest. And for some reason, Peter had a sword on him. And the Gospels say that he had drawn that sword and struck off the ear of the high priest's servant. And Jesus had rebuked Peter sharply and healed the servant's ear. As I said, Peter had already quite a night. But now here he is sitting outside the courtroom where Jesus was on trial, out in a courtyard, sitting around a fire with, one imagines, a number of servants and soldiers and such. And as Jesus is put on trial indoors regarding whether he claims to be the Messiah, Peter is put on trial out in that courtyard as to whether or not he is one of Jesus' disciples. Perhaps we should note in Peter's defense that of the 12, he alone had not fallen away from Jesus yet, as Jesus had predicted. He was still near to Jesus, as near probably as he dared, given that he had drawn a sword on the high priest's servant earlier in the evening. But it's there the second trial, Peter's trial, begins. And three times the question is put to him, the question of whether or not he is one of Jesus' disciples. The first time, Peter just simply denies it, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." The second time, he ramps it up a little bit. He adds an oath, "I swear I do not know the man." And then the third time, perhaps reflecting Peter's increasing fear or increasing guilt or increasing desperation, the third time he curses and he swears his oath, "I do not know the man." Three. Three denials, just as Jesus had said. And no sooner has the third one left its mouth than the rooster crows, just as Jesus had said. Scripture says that as soon as Peter heard that rooster, he remembered what Jesus had told him. And he understood in that moment precisely what he had done, what he had swore he would never do. And Peter broke down, and the last we see of him is with bitter tears rolling down his face like raindrops off the face of a rock. I have wondered why the Gospels are so intent on telling us about Peter's failure. What does it say to us? How does it highlight what Jesus is doing for us? I mean, it happened. Clearly, it's part of the historical record of that night. But all four of the Gospels tell this story of Peter's denials in some detail. They linger on Peter's failure for a significant moment before continuing on with the story of Jesus. I think there are a couple of reasons. I think it's first because we are supposed to see in Peter's failure our own, to recognize our sin and his. The truth of the matter is, we human beings have been doing precisely what Peter here does. We've been doing this to God since the Garden of Eden, turning our backs on him, refusing to acknowledge him before men, denying him his rightful place in our hearts and in our lives. In Peter's sin, we find the template of our own. Do we not do the same? Honestly. Acknowledge Jesus when it's easy, convenient, serves our purposes. Ignore him. Deny him, even defy him when it is not. I remember something the great Christian philosopher Dallas Willard once said. He talked about the way we treat our religion, our life with God, as something that we tend to keep on the side at some distance from daily life. Upon occasion, he wrote, we exhort Christians to take Christ into the workplace or to bring Christ into the home. But doesn't this only point to the deadly assumption that Christians normally leave Christ out? Can any of us honestly claim that we do not do this, turn our backs routinely on God, deny him entrance into certain aspects of our lives, and often think and often live as if we don't really know him? Just as Peter said, in Peter's denial we see our own. In Peter's trial, the verdict of the rooster falls also upon us. But that leads to the second reason why I think the Gospels linger so on Peter's three denials, and it's a greater reason. Not just as a way to highlight our common human failing before God, but to set into even more glorious relief what it is that Jesus is doing for our sake. Jesus does not turn away from the cup. He does not flinch from the trial. He does not turn his back on those he has come to save, no matter how he is beaten and mocked and scorned. No matter how truly we are undeserving of that sort of loyalty and love. Before the high priest, he does not deny his love for us. He does not deny his union with us. He does not deny his desire for us, but instead bears his connection with us, bears our sin and weakness and denials of him on his shoulders all the way to that death upon a cross. His death on the cross for the likes of Peter and James and John and all the rest who ran away. His saving death on the cross, even for me, for you. Even as we deny him, Christ willingly goes forth to die for for us. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, seems to capture this sense of the greater relief the denial puts Jesus' sacrifice into. He seems genuinely staggered by the thought that it is while we are sinners like Peter, even enemies of God like Judas, still Jesus willingly bears the cross for us. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, Paul says. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Peter fails Jesus. We fail Jesus. Jesus never fails in his love for Peter, in his love for you and me. He bears the cross. He not only bears the cross, but from the cross he pronounces his verdict upon Peter's trial and upon our own. Father, he cries out in his agony, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They know not what they do. And by his death on that cross, we are indeed forgiven. Peter and James and John and you and me. Amen.